You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right. 8:07 and a half. That's how precise we are here at Wake Up Tucson.
We're like,
thank you. We're like that clock at in Greenwich, England. That's what we do here. 8:07 and 39 seconds now.
Hold your breath, Brett. Okay, we're good. We're up to date.
Good morning, Ed Alexander.
Good morning, Chris D. Simone. It's a gorgeous 34 degrees in Flagstaff this morning.
I'm getting there, baby.
Enjoy.
Head
for the hills.
You know, you made me think of cool weather. So, warm weather, cool weather. Warm weather, of course, is always take care of our friends at Sister Jose Shelter. A couple of you went last week and dropped off a few more cases of water for the ladies. Please keep doing that. It's still a little toasty out there. So, Gene and the crew out there need as many 12 to 20 ounce bottles of water to give to the ladies at the Sister Jose Shelter. And then, at the same time, speaking of cold weather, this is just to save the date for you guys. It's the Wake Up Tucson Christmas Party, Tuesday, December 10th. Save the date. I'm worse than QVC pushing the Christmas crap on you already. Okay. It's December 10th. First time ever, Adriana scored a heck of a spot for us this year. We are at the Tankaverde Guest Ranch.
Fun.
So that is a winner-winner. Chicken dinner, as we like to say. Remember, if you miss anything, kvy.com, go to the podcast page. And then the coffee, there's still a little left over, the Italian espresso from Italian Appreciation Day yesterday from Brood. Amazing. While Phil roasts the beans, he plays opera in the background. It's amazing. Oh, only Verdi. It's amazing.
That's good.
So over the years of doing this show at Alexander, we have gotten to meet so many cool people.
Yes, we have.
You know, and a lot of those cool people come from our listenership. Right? It's just not the people we get to interview who are, quote,
coming through.
Newsmakers and all the authors we've done and TV personalities. We've even interviewed Donald Trump on the show. Okay.
It's pretty good.
And one of those people that we met through being a listener is Kath McCauley. Kath, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I am doing real well. How are you doing?
Not too bad. You and Dale just came back from a trip to Europe.
That's right.
How was that?
It was fun. It was interesting. Among the things I really noticed in Paris, frilly underwear everywhere and no men's shops and people who walk twice as fast as we could. And they were beautiful people. And
Hold on. You got me on frilly underwear. Was that for guys or gals?
That was for women.
Okay.
I didn't see it for men, but I bet it was there.
Okay.
I bet it was there. There was so much. There had to be men's underwear, too.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. And then we went to Croatia, where people were heavy, walked slow. On the beach, they were very heavy and very, very skimpily dressed and very, very heavy. And they ate well. And it was a completely different pace.
How were the people in Croatia?
Oh, they were delightful.
Awesome.
Very, very friendly. And though they don't all speak English.
Okay.
We ate at a little tiny restaurant, which was very local, crowded with local people. Our waiter spoke some English. I asked him for the best thing on the menu. He brought me the best thing. It was a huge slab of very tough beef that had been barbecued and was mostly overcooked with almost nothing on it. And afterwards, I said, "Do you have a dog?" He said, "No, but I got a girlfriend."
Yikes.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because, you know, I only ate a tiny bit of it. I wanted something that was local.
Right.
Well, it was his favorite thing on the menu.
You said, "I can get an overdone piece of steak in the States."
That's right. I didn't say anything. He was so proud of it. It covered a whole dinner plate.
How do you say, "My eyes were bigger than my stomach"? Croatian.
I really don't know.
So you are the inventor. Is that a word?
Yeah, I'm the inventor. Yep.
Creator of this thing called pocket sketching.
Yes.
And it's so interesting. I first saw you really in action. You came on one of our trips. I believe it was a Nogales Christmas shopping trip.
Yes.
And you brought your gear with you, and you pocket sketched on our trip to Mexico.
That's right. Uh-huh.
So explain to the folks, and we're going to get to your talking about filming a PBS series very, very soon about this. Explain what pocket sketching is.
Everything is compact. Everything fits in a little bag. I teach people to do this in 25 minutes or less, fearlessly, in public, and move on.
Wow. So what was, I guess the question, where's Kath McCauley originally from?
Oregon. Western Oregon, where it rains all the time. That's why I live in Tucson.
Well played. Uh-huh. How did you first, what was your first exposure to art, painting, this type of thing?
Junior high, superb teacher. Excellent teacher. I was told by my mother that all the rotten kids got sent to Opal. Later, Opal retired. Opal Berry was her name.
Oh, okay.
She retired to Phoenix. I got to know her a lot better, and I asked her one day, did you get all the rotten kids? She said, oh, no, I had wonderful people. She kept our hands and our minds busy. So in her class, we were beautifully behaved. We were the hyperactives.
Or the more expressive ones, I like to say.
Well, you know, we would have been on Ritalin nowadays, but in those days, they just told the parent, you've got a rotten kid.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad they didn't put you guys on Ritalin.
No. It didn't exist then.
When you're on the right path, right, you always find those people that make that difference, correct? Like Opal?
Oh, yeah. If you're lucky. You know, it's what floats by. If you're lucky and you grab, yes. She was superb. And then the next was private instructors.
Okay.
I went to Oregon State for college, and they had an indoctrination week, the week before school began for freshmen. And the art department had a big show.
Okay.
Self-expressionism was in. The work was terrible. Terribly poor quality. We'd done better work in junior high.
Wow.
And so I majored in biology and wound up in research. I didn't get back to art for years.
And what kind of research did you do?
I did medical research.
Okay.
Now, actually, I did dental research, too. I did some of the earliest environmental research on bacteria.
I did not know this.
In a closed system at the dental school in Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I mean, I'd been teaching high school, and I wound up working basically a block away from my house if I went through the woods.
Right.
I mean, it's just we were in an apartment right above the dental school. Same pay, absolutely quiet, no stress, delightful people to work with. And it was a great job.
So what about the step back to art? When did that happen?
That happened when my then husband went in the military to White Sands Missile Range in New Mexico.
Right.
I heard there was a very good artist in Las Cruces, a good teaching artist, so I found him. That was Carl Koger.
Okay.
He had been apprenticed to John F. Carlson at age 9.
Wow.
Had been teaching adults at age 11. He was totally skilled, a difficult person to get along with, but a fabulously good teacher. That was the first one. Then he introduced me to Bob Blair, possibly this country's best watercolorist, but definitely the worst businessman ever in art.
There's a lot of artists who are bad in all genres that are bad at the business side.
He was really outstandingly bad. But anyway, he would stay for free in people's houses until they couldn't take him anymore. And he would leave home. He had 3 kids, never let his wife know where he was, bum around the country painting until he decided to go home.
Wow.
Much worse than a cat. And he'd stay with different people, so it was free.
The Freddy Freeloader of,
exactly.
Of great artists.
Yeah, but painted all day long, every day.
Before you got into watercolors, I assume, with him, were you doing watercolors before that, or what were you doing, oils? What was your main medium?
Carl Koger introduced me to oils.
Okay.
First time he took us outdoors, he took a class out to a barnyard. Brown horses, brown cows, brown boards, brown buildings, brown trash heap. Everything was brown. In 2.5 hours, I used burnt umber, burnt sienna, white and black, and got absolutely nothing. And Carl showed up with 2 gorgeous oil paintings and 3 etchings. Off the side of this, to give you an idea of how imaginative he was, there was a McDonald's in the distance. There was a field between us and the McDonald's,
right.
Mountains beyond it, and the trash heap. He had a gorgeous painting of that field with little poplars in it. They were right there. The McDonald's was gone. The mountains were there. It was a beautiful painting.
And the lesson learned was?
That I sure didn't have a grasp of anything.
Well, hold on to that. We got to go to break. And now Kath is teaching a class here this weekend.
That's right.
At her place, at her private studio. You should be following along, first of all, at pocketsketching.com. How many days is the class?
3 days.
Okay.
It's 9:30 to 4 each day.
Okay.
And at the 2 days indoors in the studio, 1 day outdoors, where people find out that they can indeed do this in public and not be disturbed and have a wonderful time.
All right, go to pocketsketching.com, hit workshops 2019, and you can make your reservation. She's centrally located. You don't have to go too far in Tucson. What's your major intersection you're near?
Grant and Craycroft.
Well, I can't get more central than that, for God's sake.
No, you can't get more central.
So Grant and Craycroft, a 3-day, 9:30 to 4 each day pocket sketching workshop with Kath herself in her studio.
That's right. This is where I get to experiment with new things and see how people like them.
All right, so check out pocketsketching.com right now. Let's go to break, Ed Alexander. If you have a question for Kath, 790-2040 or wakeuptucsoncomments@gmail.com. Ed Alexander, Christy Simone, Kath McCauley, Wake Up Tucson, you're on The Voice. Ed Alexander.
Going for the ooh, ooh, ooh.
I'll be later.
Golden Mike Award winner.
Boom, boom.
The man
boom.
We know as Mayor Alexander. Piazza Alexandro being built in his honor in Pliskin Acres. It's going to be a heck of a groundbreaking.
We have a party.
It's going to be a party.
When the fountain is done.
Absolutely.
Yep.
We're hanging out with Kath McCauley, pocketsketching.com, the follow along. She just, we're going to get to it very soon. She filmed a PBS series in September that is going to be on lots of, our goal is to get it on lots of PBS stations
right.
In the new year. Ed, yep, yeah. She said that's right.
That's right. It's been a plan for a real long time. We'll find out what happens.
We're going to get into that very, very soon. She has workshops this weekend. She has a workshop this weekend that starts
Friday,
Saturday, Sunday.
That's right.
9:30 to 4.
That's right.
And they also get a Kath McCauley cook lunch on a couple of those days, right?
Yes.
Nice.
And I have no idea what I'm making. We'll figure that one out. I've watched what people bring for lunch, so I'm going to try to, most of them bring salad of some form.
Okay.
So I plan to have a composed salad. Let's just see what happens.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So when we last left off, we were talking about you were working with Mr. Koger in Las Cruces, and then you went on with the great artist who's a crappy businessman.
That's Bob Blair.
Bob Blair.
Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh.
And we were just talking about doing some oil paintings work at the Brown Barn with the brown horses and the brown cows and the brown trash heap. And he came up with two paintings and three etchings
in the same 2.5 hours.
I asked you that question, what was the lesson learned? And you said, I didn't know anything.
That's right. It was all ahead of me.
How did that spur the next level of learning?
Actually, the next level of learning was Bob Blair with watercolor.
Okay.
Never got a lesson from him, but got to paint with him, watch what he did, and then go do it. And it was a mentor. And that's where I really got into watercolor. Then after that, we moved and many things happened. Exit one husband, enter another. Wound up getting to go back to Las Cruces when oil fell apart. I was married to an oil and gas guy at the time.
Oh, okay.
And when oil fell apart, I was in commercial real estate. He said, what would you like to do and where would you like to go in the continental United States if you will go out of real estate and not talk to anybody about it for 2 years to the calendar day?
Wow.
And I
said, that's an interesting request.
It was an interesting request. I said, I want to go back to Las Cruces and study with Carl Koger. He said, done.
Wow.
And we did.
Okay.
And so when I got back there, Carl was using Elkid paint. Elkid is a very fast drying oil.
Okay.
And he had gone through all kinds of tests. He'd done an oil painting and an Elkid painting that were identical, put them on the top of his flat black roofed building, left him up there for a year, got him down to see what the wear was. The Elkid painting was in good shape. The oil painting had a lot of damage from hail, snow, extreme high temperatures, rain, the whole
wow.
thing.
Wow.
And
he's better than the Goodyear tire guys.
It was interesting because at that point he had switched totally to Elkid. And so I found out that if you cut it with paint thinner and not turpentine, it handles exactly like watercolor.
Interesting.
And so it was very easy to pick up oil painting that time.
Okay.
It competes as an oil. It is an oil, but it's very quick. Like when on a major trip, I could do paintings in the morning, put them on the dashboard of the van, and the next morning, stack them.
You know, it's interesting that we're talking about the practicality of it, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, like, you like one over the other because you just like the way it feels or looks better, which I assume is part of why you would lean towards that instead of straight oils, right? But there's the practicality that it dries quicker. I didn't even think about that.
I can do a big painting in one day.
Right.
Deliver it framed the next day in this climate.
Wow.
You cannot do that with oil. You can glaze every 20 minutes. With oil, it's usually a two-week deal.
Gotcha. Okay.
And with oil, all the paints dry at different times, and there's chemistry. With Elkid, no chemistry, and everything dries at the same time.
Do you do any Elkid right now?
No, but I'm planning on it when I grow up. When I grow up, I have some plans.
So let's talk about, we got about a couple of minutes before we go to the bottom of the hour break. Talk about the walk towards, the journey towards pocket sketching.
It all happened by accident. I was on a major oil painting trip and turned around to write a note to a friend, picked up a Pilot pen, which I had with me to write the note. I was used to using India ink. And I had a brush in my hand because of the India ink. Started to write the note, touched the line with the brush because it was a habit. It ran just like India ink. So I spent 3 days experimenting with it and discovered it is the perfect link for people to easily learn watercolor.
Interesting.
It is. It's basically watercolor in a line. It also works exactly like Chinese brush painting. It's very easy to learn. And it's extremely facile. So at that point, I realized someday I'm going to have to teach this. I had no intention of ever teaching anything. But it's too good. It's too easy. It's too easy for people to learn and too much fun.
So we're saying in the end, right, that the pocket sketching, because I think what happens is I have gotten caught up in the fact that it's the idea that you can paint anywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Huh.
But there's still the idea that there's the way that you're actually painting in the pocket sketching way that's different than anything else.
It's watercolor done right away.
Okay.
And people, I get a lot of people who've been taught watercolor with horrible rules. It was dreadful. They have really bad tapes in their heads. And one of them was at Canyon Ranch. And she'd gone to 6 workshops nationally, paid for them,
right.
Flown there, got a room. Got a car, meals, lasted only 2 or 3 days each time.
Right.
And she came with a friend and said, you can't teach me anything. At the end, she said, I can do this. You just changed my life.
Wow.
Now, that was 2 hours.
All right. When we come back, we're going to find out. You're going to find out more about, Kath is teaching she teaches all over the country.
Yes.
And she's one of those Tucson treasures that you don't know enough. That this is why we do things like this. So you know that there's people who are your neighbors who are out there doing great work in all parts of the world. So we'll learn more about that. Remember, she has some spots in her pocket sketching workshop coming up this Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go to pocketsketching.com. Go to workshops and go to 2019 workshops. And then look at next year's 2020 is also up there. So wake up, Tucson. You're on 10:30 The Voice, Chris and Kath.
More tambourine.
At Alexander, we call him dinner and a show back there. Look at Jim. This is on my CDO game day list when I do a PA announcing for CDO girls soccer.
Mm-hmm.
This usually ends up usually halftime. We'll play a little Martha Reeves and
let
make them
all
it
breathe a little bit.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Hey, we're hanging out with Kath McCauley. She is the creator, inventor of, and chief apostle of
you got it.
Of pocket sketching in the country. And again, she has a great workshop for you that you can hop into. And if you can't make it this weekend, she has a few more before the end of the year.
That's right.
I think you're also at Tohono O'Toole one time before the end of the year also.
I think that's in early December.
And just go to pocketsketching.com and hit the workshops page. So we were just talking about there's a technique here, but there's also the idea that you have created, invented the gear package here that you can go anywhere and paint.
That's right.
No easel needed.
No big junk.
Right.
I used to haul all my watercolors and all my oils on family vacations.
Uh-oh.
And I'd get it out once. Everybody was first upset with the amount of time it took me to set it up. then the amount of time it took me to paint, and then the amount of time it took me to clean up.
Sure.
And you do the cleanup about once on a family vacation, and you're going to stick all that stuff away.
Right.
And you're not going to do anything. This, everything's in a tiny little fanny pack, which is also a purse. And so you can shop out of the same bag that you're painting out of.
Sure.
And you don't have to paint. You just take it along. And if you feel inspired, you can go ahead and sketch or paint. And then right afterwards, you can go shopping.
Nothing
one thing
wrong
with I
that.
Did do in Europe, I had a red bag. I mean, I've got it right here. I had a red bag with me. I wish I'd taken one that was dull, like brown or dark green or maybe even black, because it really stands out. And it was okay for the TV series.
Right.
But as a tourist, I like to be obscure.
Right.
And you are obscure. Nobody even notices what you're doing.
So where are some of the interesting places, because of this small package that you can paint anywhere, where are some of the interesting places that Kath has done artwork in? Or the more interesting places that Kath has...
Chautauqua, New York was delightful.
Okay.
Any place outdoors. And one of my favorites I did when I was... I'm not running now, but I was running with my dogs on the east side of Tucson. And just a gorgeous scene of some eucalyptus trees. I stopped. They had to stay with me, sketch the trees, and I used it on my business card. And put everything away and just keep on running. I mean, it is that versatile. You pick it up and take it, and it's not in the way. It's there. And you can wear it running, hiking, biking. Somebody in my group goes kayaking with it. I'm a mess if I kayak. And so I'd have water all over everything. But she says she takes it kayaking and stops on the kayak and sketches.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It can go to a party. It can go to any event. It can go to church. And it can go to a dull lecture. I was in Sun Valley. Very dear friend bought tickets to Mozart. I hate Mozart.
Well, hold and she on. Had well, a, why do you hate Mozart?
I don't like Mozart, and I don't like most Bach. I love classical music. I just don't
what
like...
What turns you off about Mozart?
The repetitiveness of it.
Okay.
To me, it's dull, repetitive.
All right, then who's your top one or two composers you like listening to?
Bartok.
Okay.
Stravinsky.
All right, this makes sense.
These are a little bit more active and right. not quite as the same all the time.
Right.
But anyway, I was in the third row, and, you know... I couldn't turn Nancy down. She'd bought the ticket. She was really proud of it. And so I was sketching. I sketched the people in the orchestra.
Wow.
What I didn't know, they have a huge setup where they project what's on the stage out on the grounds. And everybody comes and brings their family, the dog, the kids, the picnic,
right.
lays out the picnic, and watches on giant screens with a great sound system out on the grounds. Well, I'm sketching away and know nothing until the following year. When somebody said, oh, yeah, I watched you sketching during the concert, you know those cameras that can pick up the flutist
sure.
playing the flute? Well, the guy picked me up and followed the sketches.
Nice.
And I didn't know that. And so he kept coming back to watch the sketches progress. Fortunately, they were pretty good.
Very good.
You know, it wasn't a bad night.
If I remember when you came with us to Nogales, one of the paintings I remember you did was Tia Gloria sitting in La Roca.
Yes.
She
is so dynamic. I'm glad she's younger than I am, because I just don't have all that energy. I'm amazed.
We were sitting as part of our tour of Nogales. We actually have Christmas lunch at La Roca. And Tia Gloria was sitting at her table doing her thing. And you were just a little bit kind of on the other side of there.
Yeah.
And doing it up.
And I picked up Tia Gloria. And you can pick up anything you can see. And it only takes minutes.
What's the attitude that people need to come in when they're going to sit down, like if they come to the workshop this weekend? What's the attitude that fits perfectly with what's going on here?
Just an open mind. Come have fun. Find out. Just experiment. Why not? Give it a go. Try it. Maybe it won't work. It usually does. I think I've had 5 failures in... I started teaching about 11 years ago.
Okay.
And I've had 5 failures, one of whom is Nancy, my friend in Sun Valley. She never pays attention, but she has a wonderful time, and she makes the class a whole lot more fun by being there. And she's taken it 4 times.
So is it the idea when they're, in being those 5 failures in the end, they gave up in the end though, right?
Nancy wouldn't pay attention. The other four had something major going on in their lives.
Gotcha.
Which had their, basically their total attention.
Gotcha.
Like, let's say a husband had just died.
Gotcha.
2 weeks
sure.
ago, and they'd been the caretaker.
Right.
And they were doing something to try to come back out in the world.
Right.
Well, that's tough. And so it's very hard to concentrate. And probably at least one of those people has taken the class again and done well. But at that time, they just couldn't.
Let's talk about places that you have taught across the country. Give us a little cross-section of the different places you've taught at.
Dillman's in Upper Wisconsin, which is a go-to endpoint resort. Wonderful hospitality. They own the lake they're on.
Nice.
All of the cabins are totally furnished, and they're up and down the sides of the lake. Every cabin's on the lake.
Okay.
Wonderful place. White Bear Lake, Ann Arbor. Of course, Chautauqua. Haven't done anything else I can think of in New York. Oh, the International Center for Watercolor in Buffalo.
Yeah, okay.
Did that one.
Very nice. I didn't know that's where it's at, so I'm glad you told me.
That's where it's at. Washington, Coopville. Love Coopville. Darlingtown, Gig Harbor. Over on the coast, we did Long Beach this summer, which is a cute, I'd say, middle-class resort area. People of moderate means go there every single year.
Okay.
And it's just a lovely laid-back area. And if you're there when it's not raining, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, I teach here. I've taught in New Mexico, taught in Santa Fe.
What's your favorite place to teach, other than your own studio?
Probably right now, Coopville.
Okay.
Yeah, Coopville and Dillman's, both
okay.
of them. Yeah, they're both really up there. And this coming summer, I'm planning on White Bear Lake, Dillman's, Charlevoix.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, and then Ann Arbor. And then we're doing a cruise. This is my first cruise out of Boston to the Canadian Maritimes.
Wow.
And back. And later today, I expect to pick up a couple Boston area locations to do workshops. Then back to Grand Rapids, because if this thing with PBS works, we're going to have to do another one.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm actually putting it on the schedule. They haven't said anything. Of course, we don't know.
Right.
It hasn't come out yet.
Right.
They sent, it's 13 episodes.
I was honored to watch the preview one that you sent me, and it looks so good.
That's number 12. Yeah. And it's amazing because you're in front of cameras, and this is a really big demonstration. If you blow it, is a really big blown demonstration. And there's no telling how it's going to come out.
Well,
like one of them I was talking about doing people. Well, the best way to show doing people is to do one.
Right.
And the only one I could see was the floor manager.
Right.
So I sketched the floor manager.
How'd that come out?
It actually came out quite well. She really wanted the sketch. Lily was delightful to work with. And she was the one person I could really see because everybody else was behind a camera.
When we come back, we're going to get knee-deep on Kath filming her first PBS series. And you guys need to keep an eyeball out for it in the new year. So if you have a question or comment, 790-2040. I did get a message through Facebook. One quick question was the investment to get into pocket sketching, right? To buy the fanny pack and the basics. What's the basic buy-in kind of investment, you think?
The basic is $45. You get a paint set, a water container, a pen, a pad of paper, a few extra little goodies.
Right.
And the fanny pack is $40.
Okay.
So if you're going to an oil painting workshop, that's the equivalent of about three tubes of paint.
Correct. Yeah. So for about $100, you can get into doing some really great art.
Yeah, and that paint set's going to last you at least a year. The only thing you run out of is the pen and the pad of paper. And they're a whopping $5.25.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, that's pocketsketching.com. Remember, you can jump into right now a workshop that starts on Friday. Go to pocketsketching.com and then hit the 2019 workshops. So, Kath McCauley, Christy Simone, Ed Alexander, you're on Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
The incredible Bongo Band. Whenever you put that up, it always comes, I think it's going to be, I'm playing the Bonzo Band. Have you heard of those guys?
Yes, yes.
And I'm always afraid what's going to happen. Then I realize it's actually bongo music. It's great.
I played this at a game and everyone's like, what is this?
That's
and it's
great.
From it's from Baby Driver.
Ah.
Yeah.
Great soundtrack.
So, Ed Alexander, Christopher DeSimone. You're on 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. Remember, if you miss anything, KVOI.com. Tomorrow we have a great show. We got Rob from Make-A-Wish Foundation, our good friends from the Rotary Car Show. They're usually gross. They're usually like $100,000 they make on that thing, don't they?
And a lot of money for
give
the
it
kids.
To a reading seed and
yep.
different things like that.
That's
and then
stuff.
Third hour is a Chuck Huckleberry 5-alarm special. DeSimone and Allie Miller, 60 minutes. And we are going to cover the amount of... We've been talking about phantom employees and surplus amount of money that goes into the budget that doesn't get spent, and then what happens to it afterwards.
In a slusho,
recent memo, he basically admitted that there's $45 million a year average that they've been collecting out of people's property taxes and other things that don't actually go anywhere until they figure it out on the back end, I guess.
$45 million.
I love Ed when he says,
pocket change for the chucker. Yeah.
So we'll talk about politics tomorrow. Right now, this is like a spiritual sorbet talking about cleansing my palate with great art with Kath McCauley from Pocket Sketching. So you, young lady, filmed a PBS series.
Yes, yes.
How long you guys been, you and Dale, been working on a PBS series?
When I first saw Pocket Sketching in 1986, I actually planned to do a PBS series.
Wow.
Like Bob Ross had done. Because even then, it was hard for people to find time to paint with oil paints in their kitchen in the Bob Ross method.
Right.
And I figured the time would come when I would be able to do it. And the time came when my late husband was terminally ill, and I called up Bonnie Henry and complimented her on an article that she had in the paper on Seal Peterson. It was a fabulous, fabulous
I remember that article. Yes.
Yeah, it was so cool.
Wow.
And I complimented. I mean, this was literally planned. And Bonnie said, well, what do you do? And I said, well, I teach pocket sketching. And she said, what's that?
Right.
And I said, well, I told her a little tiny bit. And she said, well, could I come see? And I said, sure. And she came, I think it was the next day. And we talked about it, and I showed it to her. And then she called the day after and said, I got space on Thursday. Can I run the article?
Wow. Look at that.
Which is what I really, really wanted. And she ran a full-page article. And she said, you might need to be home to get a few of the messages on your phone. It took an entire week to empty the voicemail on the phone.
Wow.
Bonnie was that effective.
Interesting.
Everybody got the newspaper to read Bonnie's articles.
Yep.
And
she was such a fun person to read.
Oh, she was wonderful. I was just reading one of her books last night.
Okay.
Which is History of Tucson. They're fabulous. You can get them at the Historical Society, and you can get one of them through Amazon. I just bought one. And the other one came from somebody in Tucson. I ordered both of them.
The History of Tucson one is probably something I should get my paws on.
There are two of them, and they are just wonderful.
And that's something I got into the Historical Society for, those?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Very cool.
Yeah. But anyway, that started the whole thing.
Kind of put you on the map a little bit.
It put me, I started teaching workshops. One of the huge advantages was I was a 24-hour caretaker, and I got to be around people that were upbeat, having a wonderful time in their life, and learning something
right.
as an alternative, and hire somebody during those hours to take care of my then husband.
Right.
It was just an incredible balance. And that started the whole thing.
So you get this opportunity to film a PBS series.
That happened because of an article in Lifestyle, Tucson Lifestyle. Jan Palm picked up that article. She actually laminated it, and she gave it to me this summer. She was from Grand Rapids. She picked up that article and called and asked if she could come into a workshop missing the first day, which I don't usually do.
Right.
She convinced me she was good enough already to do that, so
right.
she was there. Well, that began a friendship. She had to stay with, both of us stay at their house in Grand Rapids. I was teaching in Ann Arbor. And introduced me to the guy who's a production person for WGVU. And that's when we started to talk about doing a PBS. It was 2 years ago.
Wow.
I kept in touch with him. And when I looked at the numbers, what they were going to charge for the whole series, because we produced this.
Right.
We decided to go ahead with it. So then we went over there and we produced it.
Talk about preparing, the prep that goes in before. There's a lot of prep before getting in front of that camera because every minute in front of the camera is precious, so you can't waste it.
Like a lot of people, they expected an artist to be a bit of a flake and not be prepared. I not only scripted out all 13 segments, but also put in the camera angles. I reviewed Bob Ross. I wrote down everything he said in the first two shows and what the camera angles were.
Wow.
So that I could get the camera angles down to as simple as possible so that there'd be a flow from one to the next, and then wrote the script accordingly. And so I put in a ton of research.
Sure.
And when I got there, my part was done. And then they had set up a wonderful stage setting.
Hey, you told me they were great to work with.
They were fabulous to work with. Great guys, just very, very upbeat. Basically worked with three of the guys. There were other people always on the set.
Right.
And then with the stage manager.
Okay.
So it was, the whole thing was fun. They were ready for everything. I don't think we did one extra take because I coughed or something. And did an extra take on or started badly, whatever it was. That was the only time. The rest of it flowed.
The for 26 minutes.
Yeah.
Right.
And I had to have it timed so that if I came in short, I had something to put in, and if I came in long, I could cut it. So the end of each one was flexible.
So these are going to be out on local PBS after the new year. So they go through a process. They're content directors, and so. It'll be out and about into the art and TV-osphere coming up after the new year, and it's called Pocket Sketching with Kath McCauley, correct?
Yeah. And one of the things that's kind of funny, as you know, you got to see the number 12.
Yeah.
Well, Dale sent it to my brother. My brother is a psychiatrist. He's used to going to medical meetings. He thought it was terrible. Now, I have to go back to, I did the art for an auction for a PBS station in El Paso.
Right.
And it was 3 days on the air trying to sell art as a fundraiser.
Right.
The first night I did it the way I thought it should be done. It was formal. I was dressed nicely. I presented each artist and each piece of art, and they didn't get any phone calls at all.
Right.
Then I remembered Jim Click. And his hokey selling of cars.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And so the next night, I had an accent, and I was hokey. And the phone rang. The third night, I was dressed with my worst vest. I had a brush with paint in it, which I splattered all over. And it was just awful. And the phone rang off the wall.
There
you go. They sold everything. So with that in mind, This PBS series is fairly upbeat.
Awesome. Well, check out pocketsketching.com. There'll be lots of updates coming up on when they're going to come to local PBS, and you can catch out this show. And also, she has workshops all through now, the rest of this year and next year. But if you want to hop in on the one now, it starts Friday. Go to pocketsketching.com. Go to workshop. You can do this all online at pocketsketching.com. One last question. Favorite two locally owned restaurants? This is your... really a first official time doing this with me.
I always love Le Rendezvous.
Yep.
Yep. And then the other one, we just went to Inca, and it was great. It's up at Kolb and Skyline.
Sure, Inca Peruvian.
Yeah. Loved the variety. Service was excellent.
Yeah, they're fun people up there.
Yeah, it's really good food.
Great choices.
Thank you.
All right, we'll see you on the TV in the new year.
Yay.
Congratulations on the PBS series.
Thank you very much, Chris.
Kath McCauley, pocketsketching.com. I want to thank our good friends at Central Arizona Block. They are great sponsors and supporters that we do here at Wake Up Tucson. Remember, three locations, Wetmore, Valencia, right near the Pima Air Space Museum, and Sierra Vista. If you have a dream to make your patio front yard look better, they got the block, brick, or paver to make it happen. So everyone have an amazing day. Zach Yenscher is coming up next, followed by Doug, Jen, and Victoria. Billy Buckmaster, Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice.